the great resignation, to the great attraction, to the great regret, to the great revenge. Finding and retaining talent has probably been the most significant and insidious business challenge over the past 2 years. For many small businesses, it has been their undoing. And so today on The Behaviorist, we'll begin to explore this challenge. How do we use modern, inclusive, and strategic methods to attract and retain talented people so that we can collectively do good work? Welcome to The Behaviorist with Work Wisdom, where we help you adopt high-performance mindsets, behaviors, communication, and culture. I'm your host, Kedrin Crosby. Our intention for The Behaviorist podcast is to share accessible, concrete practices that you can weave into your whole life to begin a shift toward joy and meaningful achievement. Today, we're turning our focus on modern, inclusive, and strategic recruitment. We're grateful to have Sophie Nicholas, university recruiter from Siemens, joining us today for this relevant and compelling topic. Sophie, I'm so glad you're joining us on The Behaviorist. Thanks for being here.
It is so great to be here.
Good. Well, this is perfect. And ever since I met you, I thought she is going to be perfect on the podcast one day. So I'm glad this day has come. I don't know about you. I have spent the last 2 years absorbing all that I could about the great resignation. Of course, that has now morphed into the great revenge or the great regret. And so it's just been ever-changing information that's coming out, and we're seeing it in all sorts of ways. So how about you? I know in your field, you're probably absorbing a lot of this information as well. What's that like on a daily basis for you to be hearing about these things?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I actually started my role in university recruiting right around July 2021. So I have been keeping a close eye on the evolution of this.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's amazing. So, you know, your experience is probably a little different than ours here at Work Wisdom. We're just a tiny little company, but it's, I think there are relevant principles that you can share with us today that is going to help, you know, small businesses as well as large businesses. You happen to work at a Fortune 500 company, which is exceptionally modern and inclusive and strategic in your recruitment efforts. And so we thought you'd really be this perfect guest to explore how recruitment is changing. I'd love to begin just by hearing a bit about how you found yourself in this field. How did you, dare I say, fall in love with recruiting?
I will say it's been such a joy getting to know this space and interacting with such impressive candidates on a daily basis. And I really fell in love with recruiting in my college days. I already knew I was sold on HR, but mm-hmm. I wasn't sure really the path forward. So I knew that recruiting was for me after I joined a sorority my junior year, mm-hmm. which is so ironic because I never saw myself in a sorority, but it ended up being the wake-up call for my future.
Oh, gosh. Wow. Okay.
So in my sorority, Tri Delta, uh-huh. I was on the first slating committee as a founding member of our chapter. So what that means is I was nominated by my class to conduct over 75 live interviews in 3 days and then reach a consensus on 12 key leadership roles, having never seen these roles or candidates in action.
Okay.
And I loved every second of this process.
Wow.
And immediately I was able to relate that back to my classwork around recruiting.
Yeah.
And then by the time I started attending networking events, I was boldly claiming to recruiters, I want to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
So not only did I know that I could do it after being put to the test and trusted by my peers in that environment, I could also feel the passion and energy behind it too.
You know, and the word energy, it feels like it's so energetic. It feels a little bit like a reality show, you know, the
Definitely.
Way, and the stakes are high and there's a lot of, you know, passion, and maybe there are even tears on the other side. I don't know, but there's so much to sort of the energy behind recruiting. So I'm glad that you recognize that through your Right. sorority experience, and that you could cut and paste that onto what you knew you wanted for your career around HR. So that's a fantastic story.
Definitely.
Well,
and
yeah, tell me more. Tell me more.
I was just going to say that I love the idea of matching people to possibilities. Mm. And I love any opportunity to help managers consider candidates differently.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be where I am without all of my mentors that advocated for me. And another thing that really pushed me in this direction was wanting to be the person that helps others get their foot in the door.
That advocate role.
Definitely.
Okay. So a matchmaker advocate. Excellent. Okay. I love it. Well, it's so great that you've been able to see that in yourself and think about in this moment in history when we've had the great resignation and the great regret and there's such a tight labor pool. How do you use these gifts of yours, this advocate matchmaker archetype that you are, for good in the world, for all sides, for the corporation, as well as for these individuals that you're meeting? So we work quite a bit in the space of equity. And so typically when we're doing equity engagements and we conduct equity strategy and we end up creating these equity strategic plans, we end up getting questions around, but how can we attract diverse talent? And how do we build more inclusive cultures of belonging? And they want to know how to operationalize these plans. And they want to go beyond, you know, just recruiting at historically Black colleges, and they want to go deeper and they want to get more creative. So we're constantly being asked this question about, you know, how do we change our recruiting and hiring practices? So I know that you have some experience and some ideas and some wisdom even about this. So I wanted to hear a little bit, what are you thinking? Or maybe even how are you behaving in this regard? So would you mind sharing some of your ideas?
Absolutely. And I love that call out that you mentioned about HBCU. So mm-hmm. I'll start there. As we know, Siemens was not the only company to make some changes to their diversity strategy.
Mm-hmm.
During the pandemic, many organizations shifted focus to start understanding DEI recruiting efforts. And for most, this immediately resulted in the addition of HBCUs in their campus strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned from our vendor over at Handshake, we have our point of contact, Mindy. She's an excellent partner.
Mm-hmm.
She shared with us that in a given month, the average student receives 2 to 3 messages from employers. However, students attending an HBCU were receiving more than 10 messages a month on average.
Mm-hmm.
So much more competition. And one question we began to ask was, how can we recruit diverse talent at the schools we already partner with?
Mm-hmm.
And the plan forward became threefold. So we took a step back and really gave our whole recruitment strategy a facelift.
Mm.
And at the core, we have strategic outreach to student organizations on campus, changing how we partner with our current focus schools. I can expand.
I love it. I love it. I love it. That's fantastic to actually go into the student unions and make the
right.
connections there rather than
right.
waiting. Yeah. To the career fairs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Once we took a step back, it became clear that career fairs weren't giving us the ROI we wanted in the diversity space,
mm-hmm.
and it may not be the best avenue for recruiting this diverse talent. So we really decided to focus and maximize resources to be able to deliver the best talent to the business.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one on our list.
Okay. I love it. Okay. That's a really great strategy, and that's concrete. And most of our listeners can think about shifting their strategy as well.
Definitely.
Maybe in that regard. What else are you thinking?
Yeah. Well, I can say just keeping an eye on the institutions is great. I met with the Dean of DEI at the Penn State Engineering College, Tanya Peoples, mm-hmm. and she has a quote that I am now obsessed with: lead with equity and inclusion and not diversity and belonging.
Mm.
So connecting with these key thought partners on how we can bring forward this message, it's just been really cool. So mm-hmm. I would definitely recommend that. Tap into your local SWE chapters, just see what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
But second, leveraging technology to improve not only reach, but accessibility.
Tell me more about that one. What does that mean?
So I will say that at Siemens, one of our strategic priorities is technology with purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought that into the recruiting space as a way to diversify where and how we source candidates in an effort to mix up the candidate pool. So I mentioned Handshake earlier. With this tool, I can send a targeted campaign blast to every graduating senior with a concentration in mechanical engineering mm-hmm. studying in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So I can hit all of those candidates regardless of which fair my team might be attending.
Mm-hmm.
And with Ripple Match, another partner, it feels like Tinder matching for college students and open jobs. You swipe left and you swipe right on the resumes, and everyone you're viewing has already swiped right on your organization.
Mm-hmm.
I think
that's
so
great.
Just makes such a difference.
It's
leveraging
so
these
important.
Tools.
Yes.
And
it's
I've had
so important.
A ton of success with these virtual sourcing avenues in creating a more diverse pipeline.
Mm.
I've had managers opting out of career fairs because they can target candidates that they want more directly this way.
Yeah. I mean, it's the definition of disruption, isn't it? So it's using
yes.
technology to hit a broader pool of people. So yeah, fantastic. Well, I love the idea of using technology in order to accomplish this strategic priority.
Definitely.
Do you have any more on your list over
yes.
there? Okay.
Yes, there is a third one.
tell us more.
So we began to make it a priority to attend DEI conferences. I was personally able to attend the SWE conference this year, Society of Women Engineers.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that my team attends many. Since we are engineering in nature,
mm-hmm.
we have started partnering more closely with orgs like SHIP, Society of Hispanic Professional Engineers, NSBE, National Society of Black Engineers. But like I said, taking things a step further and partnering with your local student chapters is a great start when developing relationships with institutions. It shows that intentionality, especially if a national conference booth isn't exactly feasible from a budget standpoint.
Mm-hmm. And it really gets to something deeper. You and I both have read the McKinsey work around, you know, the great resignation and turning that into the great attrition and what it is that people are hungry for. And in that article, they were really realizing that people were saying, we don't want to work at transactional organizations. Mm. We want to work at relational organizations where we're valued as human beings. And so your strategy reflects that shift in the appetite because it does feel less transactional and it feels more relational. And we care about you, you know, even before the career fair. So I love that third strategy. Well, those are all fantastic. And I'm glad that they are working. And so I'm sure you have lots of metrics that show whether or not those strategies are working as well. That might have to be a different podcast another day, but I'm fascinated. And congratulations on this world-changing work. I'm also interested in learning something else from you. I have been hearing from some of our clients and reading some data about this new recent college grads and And I've been hearing that stability is one of the key priorities that are coming out of the recent college graduates. And so I just wanted to check in with you. Are you hearing this? Are you seeing this in any way? Is there an appetite for stability that you're seeing from the college grads you're meeting with?
Oh, absolutely. Stability is huge.
Yeah.
Huge. I mean, I personally think it could do with the pandemic and wanting to feel safe.
Yeah.
But I will say that they aren't looking to change jobs if they're getting what they need. Mm. They will leave if that stability turns into stagnancy.
Mm.
I would say the stability piece goes hand in hand with growth potential, mm-hmm. another huge priority of this generation. Mm-hmm. They're seeking opportunities for development and future success, and they want to be invested in. Mm-hmm. So it goes beyond that stability too.
Okay. So the stability, and are they investing in me as a person? You know, I've been reading a lot about, well, they want to be invested in not just as professionals, but as whole people. So it may be that I'm being invested in some way that doesn't have anything to do with my engineering skills.
Definitely. And people want to be able to bring their whole selves to work. But I would say another huge thing is they also seek and sometimes even expect flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Some only want to come in once a week. Some want to be entirely virtual. And that leaves us with the challenge, how can we meet them in the middle? Mm-hmm. How can we keep them equally engaged? How can they bring themselves to work in a virtual setting?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the answer to all of that now, yeah. but it is a very interesting challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll say one thing that I think we might have touched on a bit earlier is they value purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They see a job as improving life, not taking away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always looking for ways to tie our roles back to the greater good to help candidates understand their impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are also seeing that desire for purpose, and not just from younger candidates, but from everyone. And I think maybe that is part of the unraveling or mm-hmm. reshuffling that happened in our lives over the last few years, that people are waking up and saying, what is it that I want to do with my mm-hmm. days? And I want to be associated with a greater good. Well, our company is actually a B corporation. And so we'll have people who come to us wanting to work at Work Wisdom just because we are a B Corp. And there really aren't that many B corporations. So purpose is clearly important. Flexibility, and trying to understand, how do we allow as much flexibility as we can while still getting to know each other in deep ways, so we are mm-hmm. able to have that relational culture. And many, many companies are trying to crack that nut right now. How do we build affinity, distance, connection with each other, where we have shared futures and real relationships, and do that in a virtual way? So fantastic. I love the priorities that you're seeing, and I think it's a real challenge to companies to try and think about, how do we satisfy these interests? So mm-hmm. we are attracting the top talent, and people want to find us and come work for us and with us. I'm also wanting to pick your brain about the great regret. I saw some data the other day that said 75% of people who quit during the great resignation regret it. And that number blew my mind. And I thought, is that true? And I've been thinking about our clients, and I've been thinking about people I know. Have you seen this in, you know, whether it's in quantitative or anecdotally, have you seen much evidence of the great regret?
Yes, I would say yes. Just right off the bat, I have seen this. As I mentioned earlier, I started right around the time that everything got complicated,
mm-hmm.
and I felt that on my team. My boss left, my boss's boss left, mm-hmm. and my boss's boss's boss left shortly after that. So in
chaos.
The beginning, yes, in the beginning, everyone was feeling so empowered to make a change. And colleagues were leaving at a rate that I was like, should I be following? What's happening here? But since that initial panic, I've been adjusting my eyes as the dust settles. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, I've had colleagues reach back out to me for future opportunities shortly after leaving our organization. And I've even seen rehires happen in this short time. Mm-hmm. And this just confirms to me that the grass isn't always greener. Mm-hmm. But also that we hold no animosity to those who want to rejoin our organization. Yeah. I'm not seeing, the great revenge from Siemens.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they have a complex business acumen that takes most years to develop. So we value that perspective being utilized back in-house, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's been so interesting.
Yeah, it has been interesting. I think what it really shows is many of us weren't thinking very clearly when we had sort of COVID fog and the boomerangs, the people who are coming back, they're already trained. They understand the culture. They know what they're getting into. So I love that you're welcoming them back with open arms at Siemens. That's terrific.
Absolutely.
Well, so I think a big part of the answer to exceptional, modern, inclusive, strategic recruitment is have an incredible culture. And the culture satisfies those laws of attraction and really probably makes the recruitment easier for you. So what do you think, once you have found the talent and you've hired them, what keeps them from resigning at Siemens?
This is a question that could lead me into a large rabbit hole.
Okay.
when I first started at Siemens as an intern, I was on the team working on culture change for the organization, which was probably the coolest place to start my HR career.
Yeah.
Most notably because I was also working as an intern during the early stages of the pandemic.
Yeah.
I was able to observe in these high-level brainstorming meetings how HR professionals on a global level were responding to the changing employee needs as a result of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
So cool.
I was able to assist in the creation and global rollout of a new approach to performance management, which promotes better employee-manager relationships, as well as aims to empower employees to own their career, which hopefully is creating a culture of self-advocacy. And with this initiative came two big changes that I was able to see.
Mm-hmm.
We launched unlimited paid time off.
Okay.
Every full-time employee in our organization has flexible vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And we also removed annual performance reviews.
Oh my goodness, I did not know that.
Yeah.
How is that going?
It's definitely been interesting.
Yeah.
And being on the team that developed this, I spent hours poring over the data to make the case that unlimited PTO and more timely recognition, that all of these things matter to employees.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love the work that we've been doing.
Yeah.
We, at the same time that we did away with the annual performance reviews, we also released a toolkit of resources for employees to take their careers into their own hands.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only aiming to promote things like employee flexibility, but also empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
How can you raise your hand for that next hard project? How can you take the initiative and lead these conversations with your manager? And I don't know. This is all very cool. You can ask as many questions as you want.
This is incredible. And we're going to need to have another podcast. You know, I seem to remember you working on some of these things and us swapping Marcus Buckingham ideas around all of this, around empowerment and ownership and building teams. So this is really fantastic. Well, I'm thrilled to see that you know, culture happens by default or by design. And clearly, you all are being very intentional about designing your culture to create a culture of attraction and retention, and right. joy and balance and efficacy.
And even beyond the perks, even beyond working from home and having that flexible vacation, the majority of the people I interact with on a day-to-day work entirely remote, and that works for me, but feeling connected is crucial in a virtual environment. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that really elevates our culture is that we make it a point to create meaningful interactions for our employees.
Mm-hmm.
In my little corner of the world, we found opportunities to engage all of the interns, maybe for a simple trivia night for Siemens with all of the swag giveaways,
mm-hmm.
Giving them some time between these massive info dumps they're receiving as mm-hmm. they get started, but also on National Intern Day, I hosted a fireside chat with our CEO, Barbara Humpton.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of compiling a list of questions that I may think are relevant to interns today, I invited them to raise their hand for the opportunity to ask their questions themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm just trying to instill that self-advocacy in yeah. them early. Yeah. But the result was our interns were left feeling empowered, inspired, and our CEO even stuck around for an extra 45 minutes to conduct a live Q&A.
Mm. Well, they're the future. She knows it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And even my manager creates these moments for me.
Mm-hmm.
During the holidays, our team virtually decorated gingerbread houses together. and when we had a day-long strategy session, we all got DoorDash gift cards so we could get lunch at the same time.
It's
and
beautiful.
Just to conclude this passionate rant, everyone plays a role in maintaining a positive company culture.
Mm-hmm.
I think it goes beyond HR, and that's where we truly see if the culture is sticking.
Mm-hmm.
So from the CEO making extra time in her schedule to me being covered in frosting on Teams, it's just clear that we have something wonderful growing.
Yeah.
And I love to see it.
I love to see it too. It is a beautiful thing. You're doing great work, Sophie. I love it. Well, I got to tell you, thank you so much for taking the time for this conversation today. It's inspiring. It epitomizes positive organizational behavior, which is, of course, what Work Wisdom exists to build in the world. So I'm grateful to you for being part of this movement of helping others in the workplace to enhance their individual and collective team performance. Thank you, listeners, for downloading The Behaviorist. We hope you'll subscribe. Please reach out to us through our website, workwisdomllc.com, where you can enjoy Work Wisdom Press and productions. You can ask questions. You can make suggestions for topics that you'd like us to explore in future episodes. So, as is our custom, we'll leave you with 1 Minute Wisdom by Anthony DeMello about noticing and recognizing key skills and looking for talented people to join our movements, our teams, and our companies. A writer arrived at the monastery to write a book about the master. "People say you are a genius. Are you?" he asked. "You might say so," said the master, none too modestly. "And what makes you a genius?" "The ability to recognize." "Recognize what?" "The butterfly in a caterpillar, the eagle in an egg, the saint in a selfish human being."